Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 again tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to focus all of our attention on verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And last week we looked at verses 1 to 6, which deal with instruction to Christian wives. And so we looked at a wife's worship of God and how a wife's relationship to her husband is a reflection of her submission to the Lord and worship of Him. And so tonight we're going to turn to verse 7, where Peter turns his attention to the husbands. And so this is a reciprocal command, meaning that it is a husband's response to what he sees of God's instruction to the wife. Because in verse 7 it says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." And so he says, in the same way, and it means it's reciprocal. In other words, we consider what God's design is for the wife, and in the same way, we consider what God's design is for the husband. Because ultimately, again, as both husbands and wives, our desire is to be pleasing to the Lord, not simply to focus on the home and what the home is going to be like, but to focus on the Lord and what His will and what His purpose is. And so our desire to honor God is reflected in our relationship, the wife to the husband and the husband to the wife. And it reminds us of our obligation to worship God, that we desire to offer to Him sacrifices of thanksgiving and to worship Him. And so we often think of worship and offering to God in spectacular ways, or in terms of event worship events. And worship becomes a way of life in very common, ordinary ways we're worshiping God. And we're reminded of ultimately our testimony as God's people to the world. We're worshiping God in the way that we relate to each other, and we're demonstrating the goodness of God in a watching world. And that's the greater context of Peter's instruction. If you remember chapter 2 and verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So Peter reminds us of our obligation not only to the Lord, but we are to be ambassadors of Christ in the world in which we live, which includes, obviously, what we say and we communicate, but the way that we live on a daily basis. Which is why at the end of this, in chapter 3 and verse 13, Peter will again say, I wrote the wrong verse down. 1 Peter, I don't know, he'll say something profound, I'm sure. 15, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And so, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? And so, zeal for what is good and the way in which we live, being an example or a testimony to the world around us. So, husbands, you don't get a night off this week. Last week, you kind of thought, oh, he's talking to the wives. This week, we focus our attention on husbands. And let's just ask the Lord's blessing as we consider this instruction to husbands who honor God. Father, I pray that tonight as we observe this instruction, as we look at what you have said through the Apostle Peter, you would give us submissive hearts and spirits. You would give us clarity in our understanding and ultimately a desire, Lord, to be obedient to you and to worship you. you deserve all of our sacrifice, all of our worship, all of our energies. And so I pray that we would submit ourselves to you and do our part in honoring you so that the world can see that your ways, God, are good. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, the instruction in verse 7 begins, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way." And so we want to start with that command right there, live with your wives in an understanding way. The first instruction, I believe, is Peter telling us that husbands are to be considerate. Husbands are to be considerate of their wives. Literally translated, husbands in the same way, dwell with your wives according to your knowledge. Dwell with your wives according to your knowledge. And the implication is your knowledge of them. So live with them in an understanding or a considerate way. So we want to consider that. What are we considering and understanding about our wives as we live with them? Well, I want to start with being considerate in our living with them. Our living with them. That this reminds us of a certain understanding a husband is to have regarding marriage and having a wife, that first of all, life is to be shared with them. Life is to be shared with them. And I don't know if to the ladies that sounds like strange instruction, but to us men, we kind of need it because we forget that. I think men are kind of project-oriented people. And I think a lot of young husbands get married and then continue on with life as they know it, working, earning money, providing, working on their projects, working on the house and all these things. And the wife can quickly feel like an accessory or a roommate where they're just kind of there and the husband interacts and takes time for the wife when he feels it's needed. Peter says that husbands are to share life with their wives. They're to dwell with them. And that doesn't simply mean live in the same house. That means you live life together as one. There's a dysfunction in the home when the husband and wife live completely independent lives. And I know the world kind of pictures that as an ideal where the husband can live life as he sees fit and the wife lives life as she sees fit. And they're kind of just happy complimenting each other that way. That's not God's ordinance for the home. The husband and the wife are to live together. And so the husband is to recognize that and not have this idea like the pagan kings in old times that would have multiple wives, would live in houses, and the king would call upon the wife whenever the wife was wanted. That's not at all what marriage is or the husband's relationship to the wife. So life is to be shared with them. The husband must accept that duty to share his life and to share not just the life, our life with our wives, but their lives with us. I know that sometimes it's a stereotype that a husband can come home from work and the wife starts, going through the list of things that she's gone through all day, and the man's kind of like, I'm trying to process what just happened at work and figure out, what's next at home. And it's difficult, but it's an effort that has to be made. We share life. We share our wives' life with us. So life is to be shared with them. And that requires communication, which is one of the most difficult things, I think, in marriage. So life shared with our wives. And Peter says, we live with them in an understanding way. And understanding is something that's developed. It's developed with them. And again, that requires communication, constant communication. A lot of times stress in a marriage is directly related to a lack of open communication with one another. Understanding has to be pursued. The husband's desire, even though we joke about it and we tease each other about it, is to understand your wife, right? We say, how on earth can a man understand a woman? I've often used the illustration of Tim Allen, where I was watching one of his shows one time, and he says, he holds up a stop sign and says, this is something that a man would design. It's direct, tells you exactly what you need to know in as few words as possible. You see it, and it tells you stop. And he says, this is what I think it would look like if a woman designed it. And he turns it around, and it says, if you really knew me, you'd know what you should do right now. And that's kind of a man's caricature of how a woman thinks. And we joke about that, but there is this recognized diversity that God has created men and women to think differently. A husband is to understand that and to seek to understand his wife, what causes stress, what causes anxiety, what makes her worry, what's upsetting, what makes her feel loved, what makes her feel comforted. That is a husband's duty. To understand and to seek understanding with them. So be considerate in living the way you live with your wife. Peter also tells us to be considerate of her distinction, and so be considerate of the distinction of your wife. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way, and this understanding relates to the fact that she is a weaker vessel. Live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker. Since she is a woman. It tells us that this weakness, whatever it is directly related to the fact that she is a woman. And so it's a weakness that isn't a matter of moral will. It isn't something that is a flaw of character. This is an inherent or a designed weakness. And so we're to be considerate of that as husbands, that there is a weakness on the part of our wives simply because they are women and created as such. And so there is some attempt to understand what exactly is Peter thinking of when he speaks of weakness. The most natural, I think, is to go to the physical strength and say that men are simply created with stronger physical constitutions, and that's certainly generally the case. That a husband is physically stronger than the wife. And in that sense, that yeah, the husband needs to remember that and to recognize the possibility of abuse and of dominating the wife in a physical manner. I think there's also the recognition of perhaps emotional weaknesses and the times that the husband goes and thinks, man, the wife is just out of control and I don't know what's going on and doesn't seek to understand why, what's going on. There's a weakness there. I think there's also a situational weakness. And so, the wife is in a position that's vulnerable. She is submitting to the husband, and so it's kind of like, the home is the direction of the home, the values of the home are going to be set by him, and so she's in a weaker position. And so Peter says that the husband is to live with his wife understanding this weakness in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel. And I think what he's telling us is consider that the weakness of the wife, whether it's physical, emotional, situational, that weakness is designed by God. Okay? In other words, when we're living with our wives in an understanding way, we are not looking at whatever weakness there is and getting frustrated with it. Like, why can't you, be different? Why can't you be better? There's a weakness simply because she's a woman that we have to be accommodating to. It's to be accepted. It's to be understood. So whatever this weakness is, whether physical, emotional, or in any other sense, it is designed by God, and the husband needs to remember that. And this weakness that's designed by God, as she is a woman, is a weakness that demands the attention of husbands. It demands our attention. That we are to seek to compensate rather than exaggerate the weaknesses of our wives. Think of the way that the Lord deals with our weaknesses. the Apostle Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh that he had and seeking three times to have that thorn removed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so God accommodates these weaknesses and is gracious to us in them. And we see that his grace provides for us in our weakness. And Peter's saying, in the same way, husbands, recognizing that weakness of your wife, whatever it may be, you are responsible to be gracious in that and to be that strength and to be that support that she needs simply because she is weaker. Don't lord your strength over her. Don't dominate, but help and be gracious in a moment of weakness. I think that relates to being careful about unrealistic demands. The husband can sometimes have a vision for how he wants the house, the kids, the meals, and just demand and expect that the wife is going to meet all of those expectations and demands. Recognize, compensate for weakness, and be gracious rather than severe towards your wife. Husbands are often looking for more appreciation. I seem to do everything around here. My wife doesn't appreciate me. You ought to be expressing more appreciation toward a wife than demanding more appreciation from her. So be considerate. Be considerate of your wife as you live with them in an understanding way. Then he goes on and says, not only do we consider, are we considerate of them or live with them in an understanding way, as someone who is weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So husbands are not only to be considerate, but to show honor. Show honor to their wives. And I think it's important for us to see that he says show honor. In other words, demonstrate it. Not just feel respect for and think, well, I consider the position of the wife to be an honorable thing, and that's enough. No, he says show honor. In other words, it's an active thing. So you're to show honor to your wives. And our concern should be all the ways in which we can do that, to show honor to our wives. And so I want to begin with the fact that they do deserve the honor of their husbands. They deserve our honor of them. And Peter tells us why. Live with them in an understanding way and show honor to them as fellow heirs, a fellow heir of the grace of life. And this really helps us understand what he means by honoring them. It isn't simply praising them for being what they are and who they are. It's respecting something being done in them, a work being done in their lives. A husband is honoring the work that God is doing in his wife. He's honoring that work. Peter says that she is a fellow heir of the grace of life. And it reminds us that a husband is to live with his wife concerned ultimately for that grace and for that work that God is doing in her life. And a term that we often use is sanctifying, that God is sanctifying us. And that should be a husband's concern. He's honoring the sanctifying work of God in his wife. Peter says that she is a fellow heir of the grace of life, and that tells us that we honor the work that God is doing in her because an equal grace is received from God. It isn't as if it takes lesser grace in the life of a wife, or that God is somehow more interested in the husband or the man than he is in the woman, that the man is more important in the eyes of God. The grace of God is equally supplied abundantly to both husband and wife. She is a fellow heir. And not just equal in grace received, but an equal status is enjoyed with God. That the wife is every much, and I use this term and hope you can understand, the wife is every much a son of God as we are, okay? A fellow heir. In other words, sons have that position of being the heirs or the ones that carry on the family name in that sense. But the wife has equal share in the inheritance. She's every much a son of God as you are. I once heard a pastor say, God doesn't have any daughters. They're all sons. We are all sons of God. And so the husband recognizes that. I don't have some kind of higher position in the eyes of God. My wife has equal status, equal honor in the eyes of God. So they deserve our honor because of God's work in them and God's care for them. And not just having honor for that reason, but we have a duty then to show that honor. We have a duty to honor them, to show or to practice the honor that we have. And everything we do is to be considerate of this grace of God and the work that God is doing in their lives. So what we're honoring, we could say, is their faith. Their faith in God is to be honored. In other words, how am I encouraging the faith of my wife? How am I making God and fellowship with Him attractive to my wife? How am I encouraging her in her fellowship with God? And that, I hope that maybe isn't a new thing that you've considered, but really it's, again, putting our relationships and our home in terms of how is our home operating under God, and how is God affecting the operation of our home? That's our primary concern. Am I relating to my wife in a way that God has ordained? Am I wanting what God wants for my wife? That's our primary concern. And so her faith in God is to be honored. She's a fellow heir of the grace of life. We're to love her as Christ loves us, according to Paul in the book of Ephesians. And Christ loves us in the sense of doing whatever is necessary for us to make us holy in the eyes of God. Our holiness is His concern, and that's our concern for our wives. So their faith in God is to be honored. And the honor that we give to them will be evident to others. Again, Peter is talking about our testimony to the world around us, and how a Christian husband treats his wife is a testimony. And others should see the harmony that's created in the home when a husband is being obedient to God in his relationship to his wife, and the wife is being obedient to God in her relationship to her husband. So live with your wives in an understanding way and show honor to them as fellow heirs of the grace of life. And I believe Peter also has in mind the believing husband in relationship to an unbelieving wife, just as he did the unbelieving husband in relationship to a believing wife, that we're to honor that work of God in desiring to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. So showing honor. And finally, he gets to this issue of doing these things so that your prayers will not be hindered. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? That our relationship to our wife greatly affects our prayers to God. So in a sense, Peter is saying, do these things so that your relationship to God isn't detrimentally affected. It isn't hindered. Your prayers to God are not hindered by the fact that you are failing in your relationship to your wife. And this third point will kind of show you how I'm interpreting what Peter is saying. Husbands are to pray effectively for their wives. Pray effectively for them. Some view the statement Peter's making here, that do these things so that your prayers aren't hindered, as kind of a general punitive principle. In other words, husbands, if you don't obey in this, God won't listen to any of your prayers. And that could be, I guess, what Peter is saying. But I think it more relates to prayer itself. And husbands, if you are not relating to your wife in a godly way, if you're not obeying God and submitting to Him in the way that you relate to your wife, you will not be praying to God effectively. In other words, you'll be praying in discord. You won't be praying according to the will of God, for you're not living according to the will of God, so your prayers will be hindered in that sense. So I want to talk about prayer and how this is functioning in a husband's relationship to his wife. Prayers reveal the condition of the heart. What we're praying for, how we're praying, tells us what we believe and where our heart is in relationship to God. Prayers are good tests for where we are in our fellowship with the Lord. And so prayers reveal what we believe about the will of God, what we believe about His will. What I'm praying about, what I'm bringing to God, tells me what I believe God cares most about for me, and what He is wanting for me. Am I always asking for a healthy body, full bank account, those kinds of things? Do I believe that God is simply there for my temporal blessings and my earthly pleasure? What am I asking God for? What am I asking God for in relationship to my wife? Am I asking God to fix her, make her better? That reveals what we believe about the will of God and what is primarily desired for those we love. What am I praying about for those I love? Am I praying that they know the saving grace of God? Am I praying that they know the respect of the holiness of God? Am I praying that they enjoy intimacy with God in heaven? Or am I simply praying according to the things that I want and the things that I feel I need? Prayers reveal the condition of the heart. And in regard to a husband and his relationship to his wife, a husband is to desire the holiness of his wife. A husband makes a major mistake in marriage when he gets into the rut of saying, I just want to keep my wife happy. Husbands feel like that's a very noble thing. That the wife is, you know, I'm working and I'm doing all these things and I just want her to be happy, so whatever it takes to make her happy. And when she's unhappy, I'm just going to fix that and try to make her happy again. And just constantly put out fires and just try to keep peace in the home. I mean, what is it you really want for your wife? You just want her to smile all the time and just be happy? I hope you want more than that for your wife. You want her happiness and her fulfillment to not be in your home or what you're doing for her, but in God Himself. You want her holiness and her devotion to the Lord. Just as Christ wants it for us, that's what we want for our wives. And we know that we can greatly affect their fellowship with the Lord. So a husband is to desire the holiness of his wife. His primary concern is her fellowship with God. Not me, not my children, but God Himself, regardless of everything else. And so my thought is, in relationship to my wife, how can I best help her in her relationship to God? Now that's a Christian way of looking at the home, right? Unbelievers would never even consider that. But the believer says that's what it's all about. How can I be a blessing to my wife and help her on in her fellowship with God and her joy and her fulfillment in Him? That's his primary concern. And guess what happens? His prayers are affected by that concern. His prayers for her reflect that concern. Prayers that she can know the greatness of God's mercy, that she can know the power of His resurrection, that she can know the glory of the freedom of the children of God. Those are the things you care about, and those are the things you pray about for your wife. Peter says, husbands, if you are living in your wife in a way that says, you know, I got married and my wife is like one of my possessions now, and I'm just living my life, and she should be happy with how I provide and all these things, your prayers will be hindered in the sense that you will be praying completely outside of the will of God. So think about your relationship to your wife and how that affects your fellowship with God and your prayers for her. It's like the statement made about that Jesus made about, you remember an offense that you have with another person, leave your gift at the altar and make that right. And then make your offering to the Lord. Why is that? Well, because we can't worship God. We can't offer to God when our hearts are filled with disobedience and sin. So husbands, live with your wives in this sense. Honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that you are praying effectively for her and for your other relationships that you have. An inconsiderate husband offers empty prayers to God. Prayers that are useless, prayers that are vain, because we trust and believe that prayers in accordance with the will of God are prayers that are effective. And so the prayers of a husband that are hindered are the prayers of a self-serving and ignorant and inconsiderate husband. So it might seem kind of simple, these instructions that Peter gives. Simply share life with your wife. But I think that's a profound one, men, that we are to share life with them, to consider their experiences, to share their experiences with them, to share our experiences with them, to live life together, our joys, our worries, our irritations, our delights, to mutually experience life together. And not only that, but to show honor to our wives, to honor the work of God that He is doing in her, and to pray effectively by considering what is best for her according to the will of God, to know the will of God and pray according to it. That is the desire and the ambition of a husband who honors God. And we'll look next time at why this is so important in the world in which we live. I was reminded in Sunday school this morning at the end of it, and someone asked about the church and its function in the world, and how it seems like wherever the church has been, Islam always kind of ends up taking over the course of history. And it reminded me of the very reality or the function of the church in this world. We are not meant to be those that conduct civil government. We're those that submit to those in authority over us, right? We're not meant, the church isn't meant to dominate the world and to govern it and run it, to rule over it. We're to be those who live in it as godly influences. Whenever the church has decided to take up civil authority and remove people that disagree with it, it's ended up in chaos. And so we look at what's our venue as Christians? Is it the world, that we're supposed to change the world? And it's much simpler than that. It's this right here. It's our assembly together. It's the church, and it's the home. The home is our venue to show the glory of God in this world. That's where we practice our faith in God. That's where we show the world the ways of God are best. And what happens in the world and in the state, that's up to God Himself. But the home is where we focus our attention and practice the will of God. And we find that if we maintain our homes according to the will of God, society around us will benefit greatly. But let's just close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we submit to your wisdom in all things. And God, the whole institution of marriage has been given by you, designed by you. Lord, the distinction between male and female and the inherent differences are designed by you. And God, although those distinctions and differences sometimes are a cause for irritation and misunderstanding, God, we recognize that when we see that as from you, we can also see the glory in the design. That just as the wife is created as a tremendous help for the husband can be a tremendous support and help for the wife. And God, we pray as husbands, those that are here who have the honor, the privilege of having a wife, we pray, O God, that we would live with them in an understanding way, seeking to understand and to share life with them. Pray that we would honor them, honor the work that you are doing in their lives, honor, Lord, their position, their value in your eyes, and that we might pray effectively for them as we desire to see, Lord, their joy in you and their fellowship with you and, Lord, their ultimate holiness in journeying toward you. God, we pray that in all these ways our homes would be examples of the goodness of God, and that the world would take notice of the purposes and ways of God and His children. We thank You for the day that we have just enjoyed together as Your people, that we have shared together by faith. We pray Your leadership as we enter into the week ahead of us, and we pray Your help as we seek to follow You. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.